the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yesterday, it was revealed by the FBI that a hate crime did not take place at Talladega Motor Speedway. It was revealed by NASCAR that it was a garage door pull that was found in Bubba Wallace's garage this past Sunday. From that revelation, I have said this is an embarrassment to NASCAR and the media. It has been an absolute dereliction of duty in the search for the truth, and it has done real damage to this industry and to this society. And many disagree. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. After the FBI's results and after NASCAR's statement, last night I tweeted the following. NASCAR didn't care about the truth. Almost everyone in the media didn't care about the truth. Curiosity questions and the search for the truth were dismissed as contrarian at best, racist at worst. The media is broken. Society is broken. From there, I heard from many of my colleagues, both publicly and privately. I had a couple of phone conversations last night, saw a couple of tweets of guys who disagreed with what I had to say. I hear them out as always, and one of the guys who tweeted at me last night and invited me on his show, First Take Your Take, today from 1 to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, is ESPN's Jason Fitz, who's on the phone lines right now. What's up, Jason?
Just living the dream. Well, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Everyone should know Jason and I get along very well. We're friends. We've talked offset. We talk about advice in this career with each other. I harbor no ill will, and neither does he, I think. That being said, I think we're going to have a vigorous debate here. Let me do this, because I know we had limited time. I want to get right to it. After talking to you today and seeing your tweet, Jason, I think our two biggest points of contention between you and I is on these two fronts. Who do I mean? What is the media? And what did the media get wrong? Are those, is that fair? Are those probably your two biggest points of contention?
I think so, yeah. I'll go with that.
Okay, let's go one at a time. So explain to me what you think I got wrong when I talk about the media at large, or when I castigate, quote-unquote, the media.
Well, I think there's a couple of things here. One, whenever you use the term the media in general, and you're a different voice, and that's what you've been for ESPN for a long time. Well, you're a different voice. So when people hear you say the media, especially as much as we talk about how words, specific words, mean so much to so many people in the audience, I think what a lot of them hear is, for example, ESPN media. And then it becomes us versus them. There's sort of an us versus them mentality when you start using phrases like the media, I think, because it lumps everybody that doesn't see the issue the way you see it into a different category. And my issue when you did that yesterday was that with the media specifically, you talked about the motivations of the media, and none of those things apply to me. You talked about the responsibility of the media, and I don't know that I agree with you with what that responsibility is. So, like, you've lumped it into there's only two categories, and I'm not sure that it's that simple.
Okay, so let me talk about the media concept first for a moment, and then we'll move to what went wrong. This is the thing, man. I find this odd. I really do. I find it odd that you or anyone would take this personally or even affiliate themselves with this idea of the media. For it's not a club. It's a responsibility. Like, I don't feel a member of anything in particular. And so if somebody else said to me, oh, the media is really failing at this, I wouldn't necessarily think they're talking about me. So I've been taken a little bit aback by so many people think I'm talking about them individually in this. That being said, I do believe this. There is a groupthink, monolithic strain of thought that is not just predominant, but almost exclusively represented in the quote-unquote media right now. And because of that, there's very little viewpoint diversity. And I'm not just talking about this network. I'm talking about every network. I'm not just talking about sports media. I'm talking about every mass media mechanism that exists out there, Jason. And I think it's a, I think I am making a fair point without necessarily attacking you as an individual. Are there exceptions? Sure. I can't, you asked me on your show today, what did I say? What did I do? I can't speak to you individually. I don't know everything you've said over the last several days, but I do know this. Every single news network, every single one, every single point in the day talked about a hate crime, a noose found in Bubba Wallace's garage. And we ran with it. And we extrapolated upon it. And we had huge societal conversations, indictments based upon it. And I find that, A, a real failure of our responsibility, and B, odd that everyone top to bottom arrived at that same place.
Well, I a couple of things to that, Will. One, I would say that I listen to ESPN more than I listen to the news. As everybody knows, I'm not a news fanatic, so I can't tell you what they were saying on, you know, any of our, in any news network, whether it was CNN or Fox or MSNBC. I don't care. I rarely listen to any of that. So I can't speak to what they were saying. I can speak to what I consume, which is ESPN largely. And in the concept of ESPN, in the construct of ESPN, I should say, as I listened across the board, what I heard were people talking about the report of a hate crime and the statement from NASCAR and using the information we got that to say, oh my God, NASCAR is trying to change its culture and these drivers are banding together. And so there wasn't some great, it's not like people came out and said this specific driver did something to somebody. In fact, there was no discredit given to anybody throughout the entirety of the process. It was simply a report of what we had been told had happened. And that's what we react to.
Okay, I'd say twofold on that. So now we're getting to the question that you brought up of what did the media get wrong. I told you this on your show today, so you'll hear it for the second time. Our jobs, I believe deeply, is not simply to be court stenographers. We are not transcript readers. We don't take official statements from an organization and repeat it as gospel, unquestioningly, and extrapolating off of it. That is just not the right way to do the job. You have to be a critical thinker and think deeply about what could this situation be, and if there are any questions at all, any doubts, do you then go forward with extrapolating broad indictments? And that's what happened, Jason. That what we did then is we said, well, this says something about NASCAR's culture. This says something about NASCAR's fan base. Or this says something about the people that work inside NASCAR. This says something about the South. By the way, I was on First Take today. I heard that exact thing. This says something about America. And all of it based upon what we now know was a falsehood. And the fact that nobody in particular was placed blame on, I don't care. It does damage to everything. Racial relations, divisions, violence. It does all of that because it wasn't true.
But Will, you say it's that the argument is it says this says something. Is it really this? Or was it a culmination of several things, one of which happened to be this? I mean, would we have been having the same conversation were it not for the conversations we've been having about the Confederate flag? Like, you're acting like this one moment is the reason that the entire conversation was happening. The entire conversation was happening because we're watching a movement in NASCAR that's emotional, incredible to see, with everybody coming together in support of a driver that spoke out against a flag that has a lot of symbolism to some of the fans. I mean, this is another layer in a brick wall. This wasn't the one brick wall that caused all of the statements to be being made about the South or about fans of NASCAR.
But all due respect, Jason, your arguments, and I'm talking to Jason Fitz of First Take Your Take here on the Will Cain Show. He has concerns and doubts and disagreement with what I have had to say about the media over the last couple of days in the Bubba Wallace incident. With all due respect, Jason, your argument is you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. And it's just, I don't agree, and I actually think
No. My argument's we didn't break any eggs. Like, that's especially...
You got it wrong. You got it wrong.
How? I still don't understand. So ultimately,
Jason, come on, we got to start with that. You got to admit you got it wrong.
No, I didn't, and that's where we definitely differ on this.
Did you assume something had taken place and then have conversations based upon that assumption?
I had conversations about the reform going on in NASCAR right now. With this being
that's my point about the eggs, Jason. You know that if somebody's making a broad sweeping gesture here, I don't think it's me. See, the thing is, if you see something going on,
but let's also acknowledge the other side of it. NASCAR, as Ryan McGee reported today, is still doing their own internal investigations to figure out how we even got here. So there may be more layers to this conversation. Are we not allowed to speak on it until we have a full investigation from everybody and a full report? Or are you at this point taking the information we have at hand, using that to form opinion, which is what we do every single day in this job?
Jason, if we can't face the fact that you got it horribly wrong, we can't move forward. Got it wrong, man. The FBI has come back with its report. The FBI said there was no hate crime. There was no... The quote-unquote noose was a garage door pull that had been there for over half a year. We got it wrong.
By the way,
do you think there's people out there walking around right now that think there was a hate crime? There's people that don't want to hear what I have to say. They still think that it was a noose found in his garage. They still believe
that
there
think,
was...
And fine, the other side of that is, Will, do you think there are people walking around right now that are going to accuse Bubba Wallace of hanging the noose himself because it's trying
to
be another
hoax? Who was emboldened?
Because
we got it wrong. And Jason, because we got it wrong, who was emboldened through that fact?
You're asking for some version of the radical thinkers in non-radical thinking process to somewhat be
for
the representation of everybody.
I'm asking for a search for the truth. It's very simple. That's it.
So how is this supposed to work?
Try hard, critically think, ask yourself, is it true? That's all I'm asking for. I don't think it's too much to ask.
But Will, okay, I'll take this from two different sides, your sports side and the fact that you obviously, as I said to you earlier, like, we all know that you're headed to different pastures, right?
Why,
like,
does that, are you going to do this? You brought that up earlier. It's one thing I don't like. What does that have to do with this?
Because it speaks to the way that we make thought in radio and in general. When we are on talk radio in general,
like
we
years.
React to the information that we have on hand. The only information we have on hand right now is what we base our thought on. So, frankly, if there's a report of somebody politically doing something, a news network covers it because you have to cover the news as it comes into you. Just like you cover
you
right
to,
now at ESPN. You cover Dak Prescott every single week when the fact is, if you really want a whole picture on Dak, you should wait till the end of the season to cover it. But we don't have that benefit. We don't get to do that because we're
Jason,
on air
I'm not
every
asking
single
you
day.
To stay quiet. I'm asking you to be responsible. I'm asking you to acknowledge that what you're basing this on could possibly be not true. That you never saw a picture, you never saw evidence, you saw a press release from NASCAR. And because it tied in, this is the
and
point
what did the press release
hold on,
say
Jason,
that did
on,
harm?
Jason. I'd like to finish this point. Because it tied into what you say is a greater movement going on, then therefore it's justifiable to run with that assumption. You're right. I had said on this show, good for NASCAR doing away with the Confederate flag. I can't hold that opinion and also think you should have the fidelity of the truth and not run with an assumption that turned out to be false. I think I can have both those things. I think I should have both those opinions. I don't think one says that because there was a Confederate flag at NASCAR at Talladega, or it's been there for years, and that's been a part of NASCAR's culture that now they're walking away from, requires me to then run with NASCAR's press release on something that we now know quite clearly was false.
So NASCAR came out and definitively spoke, which is what they have to do when they're trying to change the way that they're perceived as a sport. They definitively spoke, and in the process, they said hanging a noose, hold on, they said hanging a noose would be is a heinous act. That's their word, that they're going to get to the bottom of it. So what did they not do? They said hanging a noose is a heinous act, and they would get to the bottom of it.
Jason,
they got to the bottom
of it. You think it's okay because you're saying NASCAR didn't blame a single individual. I'm telling you it's wrong because NASCAR told you that an event took place that did not take place. NASCAR told you that there
NASCAR
was a heinous
NASCAR told you
hate
that an
crime.
Event was reported. No different than if one of the guys
Go
that
back.
Worked on your show told no. you that they saw something, you would believe them, right?
Jason,
that would be the point.
Jason, go back and look at NASCAR's statement. Go do it. They
I reread the statement on air today.
They said affirmatively, a heinous hate crime took place. Racism has no place in NASCAR. This noose was found in Bubba Wallace's garage. Every one of those three things is false. It was a garage door pull. We can talk about what type of knot might have been tied in it and when, by the way, and what it has to do with anything that's going on in society right now. And the answer is nothing. We can talk about whether or not it was truly a heinous act of a hate crime. The FBI says it was not. And we can talk about whether or not racism has a place in NASCAR. That is an affirmative statement that everyone believes. But what that entire thing did is create a perception out there. And there are people who do not know to this moment that it was false. There are people who do not believe to this moment that it was false. And it's our job to break through that. It's not our job to repeat press releases.
It's not our job to do that. Like, I'm not a journalist, Will. Like, I can't stress this. And I said this on Twitter yesterday in response to some of your fans. I'm not a journalist. It is not my job to go out and report anything. I don't talk to tons of sources and write reports.
We just view our
I
jobs
come out,
differently.
I'm not about reporter.
I don't care if you're a reporter, an opinionist, an entertainer, or a journalist. Your job is to base what you do in the truth. Otherwise,
it's based on the truth of what? The information you have on hand. So the only way I can actually base my information on the truth, Will, would be if I choose to not speak about this at all until we get every piece of information. And if I choose not to speak about it at all until we get every piece of the information, I'm simply running blind. Do you genuinely believe that any of us working at a sports talk station could not talk about this issue on Monday?
I think we checked common sense at the door. I think we wanted to talk about the bigger picture. I think some of us wanted it to be true. And I think we did all of that because based upon something that was false. And I think we have to acknowledge that's a massive, costly mistake, Jason. I gotta go, man. I want to keep this going, but I got Bomani's book to come debate me next.
Hey, Bomani's much smarter than I am, so he's gonna do much better than I did. Well, you know, I love working with you. I've always loved working with you. I know we see this very differently, but I gotta say it loud. It doesn't mean that I'm not gonna miss the hell out of you when you're around here. I love being able to chat with you even when we disagree, my friend.
I want everybody to know I have no ill feelings. I know I get passionate in debates, Jason. I think a lot of you as a human being and as an individual and as a friend, I know this sounds almost gratuitous at the end, but it's true. After these passionate debates, I come back to center, and I like you and care about you, and we'll stay in touch with you, man.
Well, I wish you luck, man. You're going to crush it the next step. We're going to miss you here.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Jason Fitz of First Take, Your Take, right here on the Will Cain Show. We'll have to figure out our clock here because I want to give a lot of time to Bonnie Jones, who also has called in. He has some things he disagrees with me as well. This is coming up on the Will Cain Show.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Continuing in the spirit of this show being an open forum and listening to people that disagree with me, including over my take from the last several days that the media and NASCAR completely embarrassed themselves through the Bubba Wallace fiasco. We invite in now to the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN's Bomani Jones on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. What's up, Bo?
Hey, man, come on now. I invited myself. I just had one question for you, and it's legitimately a question. I'm not really so much coming for a quote-unquote debate, but I watched on First Take, and you made the point that the ultimate resolution of the situation with Wallace would have a – it would be an impediment to race relations. Did I get that right?
That's right.
Okay, I'm just curious. Like, what do you think is the biggest impediment to race relations in America?
I think the biggest impediment to race relations, you're probably not going to like my answer. For some reason, it falls hollow on so many ears and hearts, is that human beings, I think we've had this conversation before, Bomani, have trouble seeing each other as individuals, seeing each other for who we are as human beings. I mean, man to man, woman to woman, man to woman, not as members of any given group, political cause, race, gender, sexuality, whatever it may be. It's a difficult thing for human beings. People accomplish it at different levels. We are inherently tribal, and our job is to overcome those tribes and see each other as individuals. I believe when we do this, it will make it harder for people to look inward and see, do I fail? Am I failing in my ability to look at others as individuals? Instead, it will continuously be this external focused thing. Is that racist? Is this racist? Is that improvement? Is this not improvement? And it will undercut not just anybody's external indictments. It will also undercut anybody's willingness to look inward.
All right, so let's try this. If I were to ask you in 1865, what is the greatest impediment to race relations in America, what would you have said? Would you have said the whole thing about tribalism and everything else?
No, it would have been yes, at a deeper philosophical level, but the more immediate biggest impediment at that point would have been the institution of slavery.
Right, but the issue is really the impediment to racism is white people not treating black people as being of equal levels of humanity. Like, that's the answer for all of the time. Like, the reason I wanted to call in, and it's very important to note this, especially considering the power dynamics. Me viewing you, for example, through the lens of just being a part of a group and not an individual doesn't have any negative effect on your life. You viewing others the other way actually does have a negative effect in their lives. Like, it's not the same thing. We can't do the both sides, and human beings are just like this, because there's been a level of subjugation to people in this country that is uncommon and is not something that we can look at all across the world and thereby ascribe all this necessarily to tribalism. The problem I have is when you say that what happened with Bubba Wallace is going to be an impediment to race relations. Nah, man, those people rolling on Speedway Boulevard before that race with those flags flying, those are an impediment to race relations. The person that had a flag, had a thing that said defund NASCAR on Sunday over the track, that's the impediment to race relations. I found myself, actually, when the thing happened with the garage, not even really so much talking about that, because the other things that were going on, those are far bigger impediments. And if anybody is to look at that situation, and I disagree with you about NASCAR. NASCAR did exactly what they should have done. If I were to walk up to your house and if the cops saw somebody kicked in your back door, the cops are going to come in, and if they see your house has been tossed around, they're going to think that you got robbed. If they ultimately look around and find out that nobody took any of your stuff, then they're going to say, okay, you didn't get robbed. But nobody's going to tell you, if you walk into your house and it's all torn up, that you didn't get robbed. Nobody's going to do that. And in this case, it's the same exact thing. If you're a black, if you're a black driver and somebody saw something that appeared to be a noose, right, you got to call the FBI immediately. Because if you don't call it, and I'm Bubba Wallace, we got a big old problem if somebody thought there was a noose and you guys didn't look into it fully. I applaud NASCAR for actually going and checking it out. They investigated it. The next day, nothing was the case, apparently, from what they have said. No person was accused. No person was castigated for it. And then you keep on going. But you can't tell people not to overreact when you see what you think is a noose, and then justify people overreacting on the back end to the idea that it did not go the way it appeared to have.
If all that NASCAR did was call for an investigation and call the FBI, I think you would be right. But that is not all that NASCAR did. NASCAR put out an affirmative statement saying that a heinous hate crime had taken place. That drove the news cycle. Every headline and every conversation from that point forward was based on the assumption that an affirmative act had taken place. If the cops walked into your house and noticed some stuff missing, they do not say automatically that you have been robbed and then go look for the culprit. They first say this: some stuff is missing. Was there a robbery? NASCAR didn't offer us the ability to have that conversation, or it allowed everybody to move forward with the idea that there had already been a robbery. That's NASCAR's mistake. It took the FBI and their investigation to undo that.
Yeah, but be fair to NASCAR on this one. Like, really, you have to. This was not an implausible conclusion if somebody reached it. The odds of this not being what they thought it was based on what they apparently had before them seem to be fairly low, right? If they got that wrong, okay, they got that wrong. But I feel like in the way that you are approaching this, you are giving cover to the people who then see this. And I know you don't believe that this was a hoax, because it's not, right? But you give cover to the whole, hey, this is a hoax, people. And, you know, every time there's, you know, like, if there's so much racism, why do people have to make it up and so forth and so on? You delegitimize what is actually going on in so many people's lives, what we see everywhere, and what we saw before the race. So, like, if we got a real problem with something, NASCAR allowing that flag to be what it was for so long is a much bigger problem than them mishandling this. I don't get the feeling that you was charged up about that, and that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Bo, I feel very passionately about this fact. I am not the one undercutting the idea of people's ability to accept that racism takes place or individual instances. False claims like this undercut that. That is what empowers those who think that things are hoaxes.
No.
This is what – do you think they're more or less empowered today, Bo?
Let me tell you what empowers those people. Racism is what empowers those people. The idea – because what you got to realize is if this had been real and then the next one is fake – they still going to jump on the fake one and ignore the real one. We have so many examples of actual real live, real things like this that have happened throughout American history, recent and farther back, that if you want to talk about it, those things are there. As soon as there's one hoax, the people jump up and be like, oh, see, that's what it is, because that's what those people were going to do no matter what. So to simply point out that now we got people on the back end and that's going to be an impediment to racism, those people are much more of an impediment to racism than anything that happens on the back end. I don't see you calling these people the impediment. Are we saying that the dude flying the flag over the track, do you think that's an impediment to race relations? Because I absolutely think that it is. That actually got far too little discussion around this, that NASCAR decided that they were going to make these changes, and you had fans who were deciding, no, this is our space to do this, and they ride around the track before the race, and they fly the banner overhead. Like, that is an overt act of racism, and we should applaud NASCAR for the fact that they, for the first time ever, are standing up to those people. Instead, you're going to say that NASCAR failed by investigating what they believe to be a noose in the garage of the black driver? Come on, man.
I'm not saying NASCAR failed because they investigated. I'm saying NASCAR failed because they gave an affirmative statement before the investigation,
okay,
and the news cycle was driven.
I'm just saying this to you right now. If somebody were to hang a noose around my desk or something that looked like a noose near my desk, and you saw it at the office, and you came up to me and were like, well, hold on.
I don't think you said it was very plausible.
You brought up, let's get to the bottom of it. Whoo, baby, me and you going to have a problem. And if you got a problem with that, then I think that you're being unfair to people for that thing is quacking, that thing is flapping, that thing is walking.
No.
Let's hold it up. It wasn't. It's a duck. It just so happened this time it wasn't a duck.
Bo, I totally disagree with you about your probabilities you describe as well. The probabilities that a garage door pull tied into a certain knot was a noose versus a looking around with video evidence, NASCAR could have taken its time and gotten this right. And by the way, it wouldn't have taken much time. Video evidence, a quick survey of the landscape, realizing that there are pictures all over the place of showing this thing goes back to October. I don't think NASCAR's assumptions and probabilities were fair at all.
I think it was more important to stand with that dude in that time,
well,
and with the evidence that they had before them and what that appeared to be, I don't think that there was really anything wrong with the affirmative statement they put out. Because here's the thing, if they don't put out an affirmative statement, what it fairly looks like in that case is that they are trying to downplay this. No, what they saw needed to be treated, I think, with the level of urgency that they pursued it with. No individual has paid any price for this. The only people who seem to be mad about this are people who think that there's something insulting about the idea that maybe, just maybe, after all the history in this country, maybe, just maybe, somebody white did something really ridiculously racist, as though that's some sort of anomalous activity. It's not. And white folks got to live with the fact that you're asking for a benefit of the doubt that is not supported by the historical record.
That is such a broad sweeping indictment of an entire race of people in this country that it's
It's a sweeping indictment of the history of this country
newspapers
of the day come back to support.
When you say benefit of the doubt, that is something that is earned by individuals, Bo. I want to respond to what you said.
You're wrong there, and that's the biggest problem
with
all
well,
this stuff.
That's just basically where we disagree. I believe in individualism and agency. I believe it at the core of my being, and I think it's what solves the problems in this country.
I know you believe that, but in application, white people receive the benefit of the doubt blanketly as a group of people in the face of circumstances that nobody else can ever receive. That's why when people actually get caught doing something racist and they give some, oh, my bad, apology, and everybody's like, oh, well, he apologized, moved on, I'm sure he turned into a different person. It's because of a broad benefit of the doubt that white people receive in this country that other people do not get. And I'm sorry. There is not enough here to say that it is unfair if someone truly believed they saw something fashioned as a noose, and what apparently from the descriptions of Bubba Wallace and others, what it looked like in that garage on that rope is not what it looked like in the other garages. It's just not. There appears to be a difference there. Like, I'm not here to believe that people just are really like, yo, hurry up and call the FBI. Don't nobody want to do that. They don't. But broadly speaking, the idea that somebody could put a noose in Bubba Wallace's stall, it's not close to being out of the realm of possibility. It's not even there. And again, you seem more bothered by the fact that somebody got this wrong than you were with this display of defiance that took place before the race with the racists trying to assert that NASCAR is theirs when NASCAR is like, yo, could you please chill out? That's not what we want to do no more.
All right, I'd like to respond to that. I hope you'll let me respond to that here on the Will Cain Show. We only have a minute or so left. I appreciate you wanting to interact with me today. It's the first time we've ever, I think, not ever, a few times on air interacted. I believe this. I believe there are terrible people in this world. There are racist people in this world. Do I believe they showed up at NASCAR races and flew flags? I do believe that. And I think they always will be. And I think that those people, as you pointed out, will probably always exist, and this evidence is meaningless to them. Their racism is core to who they are. But I believe that human beings out there that can be won over, that are truly persuadable people, who realize that if I look internally and improve my own individual life, don't qualify my virtue by yelling racist at other people, but live a life of action and as a good human being, they can be persuaded. But, and this gets to my outrage now, but if you undercut the truth consistently, this is an example, there are others, and you say, what have you made a big deal about this, Will, on? You know the other examples, whether or not it's the circle game or a child's tweets who goes on to be a professional athlete. When you take a moment like this and you such cavalier disregard for the truth, what you do is you lose those persuadable people who will stop looking inward individually, and that's why, to take this conversation full circle, I believe you do this country a disservice and you take a step backwards.
And if those people can be dissuaded that easily by that one mistake, they're not nearly as persuadable as you're giving them credit for being, which is you.
Well, that's how important I think the truth is. Or it's just important. It just shows how important I believe the truth is.
Well, I mean, the one thing I do think, though, the truth in this is very important. I think there's something to it. What gets frustrating often, like in hearing you talk about this, is somehow you be the only one that's speaking the truth, right? Like, you're the only dude that's, everybody else is falling for it, right? Everybody else is out here on some okey-doke when it comes to this, but you, seeker of truth in this matter, we got the truth now, right? And so I can see, people may have gotten it wrong in a very sensitive time, they put a two and two together that did not happen to be four. But I think that's far more reasonable than you give it credit for being, and you give way more credit to these people who then on the back end will then say, well, I don't care about these things anymore, rather than chastise them for the fact that they never gave a damn in the first place.
All right. I appreciate the interaction. But Monty Jones here on the Will Cain Show. Thank you.
All right, man. Be good.
All right. I simply care about the truth. I think it is fundamental, foundational. More Will Cain Show coming up next.
Man, I just wanted to say, basically, man, I find myself disagreeing with you a lot of the time.
Don't agree with Will? Not sure how that could happen. Call 888-SAY-ESPN now.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
All right, I've had two long debates with Bomani Jones and Jason Fitz. What they feel I got wrong over the last couple days, now my brakes are blown out. So I got to get in and out here. I'm going to come back in the last segment and let you know my final thoughts on this Bubba Wallace situation and all the debates I've had here on ESPN Radio today. That's coming up in just a minute here on The Will Cain Show.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Quite a day here on The Will Cain Show. One of the places, yes. One of the few places, yes. One of the rare places, yes, that does seek truth and is open to disagreement. And that's a fact. It's The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, with all callers on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Throughout today, I have told you that the media and NASCAR has embarrassed itself over the last several days. That, to me, seems like quite an obvious statement over what has happened. An entire conversation, a narrative, an indictment of not just a fan base and a sport, but of a country based upon a falsehood. That is simple, that is stark, that is naked, and that is true. To that, some people can talk very, very, at great length, in different directions about broad narratives, and what about this, and spin over here and look over there. But the bottom line is, they didn't care about the truth. That's the bottom line. They didn't care about the truth. Not enough to look for it, not enough to admit defeat today, admit mistake today, accountability today. You know, I invite everybody on this show, even the ones I know don't respect me. It's probably a mistake, because I can see what they did. You know, they go to social media, you go do your other things, that's fine, that's your biggest audience, go talk to them. I hope it's a great career builder. But you know what? In my history here, I've invited every single person who has ever disagreed with me to come on this show, because that is what is needed. What is not needed is sermons and preaching to choirs. That is what is not. And complete disregard for the truth. Complete disregard. But Monty Jones just told me a couple of things. He told me that white people have lost the benefit of the doubt, or rather, they've earned the benefit of the doubt, and it's not one that's given to black people. That is a statement based upon group affiliations. I do not believe that any solution to problems in our past is to be to re-embolden group affiliations, racial or any other. I don't believe agency or individualism is a province of any individual group. It's a birthright of every individual. And the way you solve our problems in this country is by doubling down, refastening yourself, rededicating yourself to those concepts, not abandoning them and saying this group should be looked at this way or this group should be looked at that way. That's committing the same sin you're trying to solve. But oh, we've got these big agendas, we've got these big narratives, but what about look over here? You didn't care about the Confederate flag flying out. I cared about somebody telling the truth. That's what I've cared about. Are there racists? Yes. Racism is solved, once again, by looking inward and treating people, including ourselves, both critically, judgmentally, and positively as individuals. Keep trying to solve it through group dynamics. Keep trying to do that. Here will be a simple question at the end. You think it's going to work? Or are you committing the same sin that you're supposedly trying to solve? And in the end, didn't even care. All that, didn't even care that the center point of the entire thing was a falsehood. The center point, that's pretty simple in the end. The center point of it all was a falsehood. Damn. I'm not the only one that doesn't respect in these situations. It's anybody that actually cares about the truth. It's the truth itself that is disrespected. We got a few minutes here on the Will Cain Show. We got a few days left, I think, on the Will Cain Show. And by the way, yeah, I am going to hold myself out as one of the few rare truth seekers in the situation. Kind of makes me feel like that's the case. Even after the case, we're not even looking for it. We're deflecting away from it. You got something, man, for me, Bubba. You got another greatest hit over the last 2.5 years here on the Will Cain Show.
Yeah, I think I can do another. This is a by the way, I think maybe tomorrow we got to do a whole segment of just dedicated to Nuno because he deserves his own segment. Just throwing that out there. So many drops and gems. I think you'll remember this call. I'm sure Nuno will once we get into it. This call just kind of doesn't really make much sense and is probably goes down as one of the worst callers we've ever had. You may remember him. His name is Ross. This is from May of 2019.
A Will Cain Show throwback.
What's more impressive, Ross, the Warrior streak or LeBron streak?
I have to think that because they won and because Steph is a top 10 player, I got to say that, yeah, Steph and Clay are the best two number.
What are you talking about, Ross? That's not what I asked you. I asked you if the Warrior streak was more impressive than LeBron's streak.
So I guess I'd lead with the simple fact that LeBron couldn't.
Let's lead with this. What's your answer? Warriors or LeBron?
LeBron could not give anyone or could not bring anyone.
Bring, right.
But what Clay
is happening right now, Ross? Is it Warriors or is it LeBron?
Well, I just want to say I like LeBron. I like LeBron. I love LeBron. I think he's a very nice person. I do like LeBron. But
what is going on?
Yes, obviously.
Are you taking it down, Bubba? What's going on?
The city?
Yeah, that would be Oakland.
It just slowly faded down, I guess.
I mean, well, thank God. What that was like a psychedelic drug trip of a phone call.
Was he listening to a different show?
That was Ross, and actually, that's not the only appearance from Ross. Remember, Ross wasn't done when he also gave us this gem.
Give me your haymaker.
Hey, Nuno, or not Nuno? Will, hey Will, I just want you to know that it's not your fault. It's not racist. It's okay. It's okay. Just try again.
What are you talking about?
Oh my goodness.
Who is that? Who is that on the show with us?
That was like Myron.
That was a caller. Yeah, that was a caller. I think it was supposed to be tried to do a debate and it did not work out cuz Ross couldn't even answer the question and then tried to tell you you weren't racist and it's not your fault.
Not your fault, Will.
Real quick, though.
Well, it's not your fault.
The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. This is Shower Sessions, part interview, part concert, all from the shower. Grammy winner St. Vincent invites up-and-coming artists to sing, share, and get funky, all in the sound booth at home, the shower. Watch now at youtube.com/progressive.
Nice job, Nuno.
Not your fault, Will.
Hey, Nuno.
How was that a greatest hit, Bubba? How was that a greatest hit?
That's so uncomfortable because you wonder if Ross is okay.
What was that?
It's not
more Will Cain Show tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.